Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. So if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. The book of Ruth, chapter number 1, and notice with me starting at verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of one was Orpah, and the other name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she heard that the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go and return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there not any more sons in my wombs, that they may hear, may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them for having husbands? Nay, nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if I ought but part, but death part thee and me. And she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Then she left speaking unto her. And so the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them and said, Is this Naomi? And she said to them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And I went full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark the names of these two young ladies that is first mentioned in verse number 4, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 4, where we see Orpah and Ruth, Orpah and Ruth, and we're going to do a quick character study on these two ladies here of Orpah and Ruth, and out of the norm, I'm going to actually preach a cute title titled M&M's and Skittles, M&M's and Skittles, And with the Lord's help, if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we're just asking that you would give grace, that you would give understanding, clear my mind, set everything aside, and Lord, let it not be what I once said. Let it be what you once said. Let it be very clear. Lord, I know that there's folks in here that need this message. They need this principle. And I'm praying that not only do they hear the principle, but they apply this principle, and that it would revolutionize their life for following after you. Lord, again, make it clear. Let it be understandable. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In any major city or any minor city that you go nowadays, you could always find a group of people that we would call homeless. You could sit in any type of park where they clear out a section of town and they put some grass so people inside of the town could actually know what that stuff is. And they can look at stuff and you'll see people gathering together. Some people who don't have homes, people who sleep on park benches, people who keep newspapers and to keep themselves warm. And any child, any person who comes by, maybe a child would ask the question and say, what happened to them? Why are they homeless? How did they get here? And that's a very good question to ask. You see, if you were to take one of those men who was laying out in a park bench, who tried to do what they could to stay warm, and you were to back up time about 20 years till they were about high school age, and you were to interview that young man while he was in high school and say, son, what would be the goal of your life? What is the dream of your life? Where do you envision yourself? Not a single one of those men would get a twinkle in their eye and get that far off look as they begin to dream. None of them would have that and say, you know, the goal of my life is to be a real life bomb. The goal of my life is to live on the streets and to stay warm with the newspaper gathered about me. Well, if no man has ever had that dream, no one has ever set up that goal, why in the world do we have so many homeless people, if no one set out for that goal, no one set out with that dream? Tonight, there's a young lady who's listening for the car to come up the driveway. And as she looks out the blind, she sees a man staggering up the driveway and she goes, oh no, here we go again. And during that time, she knows that a beating is going to come, that the abuse is going to come, until she finally can't stand it anymore. And she takes her children and she flees from that area. And for the rest of her life, she has to find out how she's going to survive being a single mother, raising up these children, and miserable conditions all the way around. If you were to go back in time and find a young lady in high school and ask her, what is the dream of your life? How do you envision your life? And you were to ask her, do you think that maybe with a gleam in her eye, that she would get that far off look and say, you know, the real goal of my life is to be utterly miserable. I want to live in a failed marriage. I want to live in a place where my life is in danger. I want to live in a place where I have to struggle from day to day. Well, if no one in their life has ever said, the goal of my life is to be miserable for the rest of my life, why do we have so many people that are miserable? As we come to the book of Ruth, we see a little bit of the context jumping into it. Notice with me in the book of Ruth in chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Ruth chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So here we have the context. This is occurring during the period of the judges. It may have happened with Eglon as he's in charge, the king of Moab, who is now overseeing all that span until Ehud comes. Maybe it comes after Ehud, when they have a small space of time and a small space of relief. But during this time, it happens in this course of the period of the judges. And it says that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Here is a man here by the name of Elimelech, that he looks around and says there's a famine in the land, that right now we're having a hard time paying bills. Right now we're having a hard time getting food. So therefore I determined that it is best for us to move into the land of Moab. You see, what he was using to determine that is he opened up his wallet and he turned to page number 20 and made that his decision making. Trying to say, this is what my wallet says is best for me to do. Whereas if this man had got a piece of the Bible, he would have been able to look into the law and see that God forbade them and said, do not go back into the land of Moab. Do not dwell there. It's amazing, even as a preacher, I'll have someone say, I believe it's God's will for me and my family to move somewhere else. And I'll ask them, have you been in your Bible? And they say, absolutely not. I haven't been in there. Well, then how do you know it's God's will? Well, because I have this promotion. Well, because this is going to be better for me. Well, because of this. Dear friend, let me tell you that it's better to get a piece of the Bible than some false piece that we work out in trying to make a decision. That it is the Bible that should be our guide. And this man left the blessings and where God had told him to be at. And he took him and his wife and his two sons. And they went to sojourn or live in the land of Moab. Verse number 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife Naomi. And the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Ephraimites of Bethlehem Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So Elimelech took his wife, took his two boys. They went to go live in the land of Moab. And that's where tragedy struck. Notice with me the next verse, verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. So Naomi's left alone. The husband has died. They have moved to Moab. They've moved there because it's going to be better for the family. Now she's stuck in a strange land with her two boys. But maybe there's hope after all. Maybe there's something along the horizon. Notice with me in verse number 4. And they took of them wives of the women of Moab. And one was Orpha. And the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. So Naomi says, maybe things aren't going to be too bad after all. Here we are, my two boys, they finally got married. We get to live here. Maybe things are going to work out. Maybe things will actually happen. But tragedy strikes once again. Verse number 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. Well, the famine's over, so it must be God's will to return back to where I was supposed to be in the first place. So she packs her stuff and she says, I'm going back home. Time to leave, time to go back. Famine's over. Maybe something could be work out a little bit better there. Verse number 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on to the return to the land of Judah. So what happens is that she starts going back, and her two daughters-in-law, Orpha and Ruth, they follow along with her. And now we come to the crossroads. Here they come. You can might imagine a little rickety sign with one arrow pointing to Bethlehem, Judah, the other one pointing back to Moab. Here is the crossroads. They're on the border of two countries. They're at the border, the crossroads of decisions. And now the ladies get together, and they start discussing what's going to occur. Notice with me, if you wouldn't mind, in verse number 9. Verse number 8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you might find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee and thy people. So they're at the crossroads of two countries, the crossroad of decisions. One hand, you have Bethlehem, Judah, the land of God's promises, the land of God's blessing. The other one, Moab, going back to their familiar surroundings, going back to their family, going back to the false gods. But they're the crossroads of two decisions. And like most ladies, they don't just say goodbye with a handshake. If this was the story of three men, they would just shake hands and say goodbye, and that'd be over with. And we wouldn't have much of a story here. But God has made ladies things differently, and praise the Lord for it. But these three ladies, they gather together. They start to, Naomi says, you don't have to go with me. Go back home. You don't have to follow after me. And they went and they start crying. Maybe it started off with Ruth trying to hold back some tears, her lip quivering a little bit. Naomi's telling her, please don't cry, it's going to be too hard. Orpha finally breaks out in tears, and all three ladies begin to cry, and they begin to hug each other and cry and weep. And we love you, Ma. We love you, Ma. We can't leave you. We can't leave you. We got to go with you. And Naomi, no. You need to go back. I don't have anything to offer you. I can't bear you any more children. You need to go back. And so we come to this place. We're at the place, the border between two countries. We're at the border between Bethlehem, Judah, and Moab. But it's not just a crossroads between two countries. It is a crossroads of decision that each of these ladies are going to have to make. Naomi is going back home, and her two daughters-in-law, Moabitesses, by the name of Ruth and Orpha, they have their own decisions to make. The first lady I want to put our attention to is Orpha. Orpha. Her name Orpha is a very interesting name. Remember, names always have meaning, and they're usually given names, almost like a nickname, afterwards that cover their characteristics. The name Orpha means double-minded. Double-minded. This is some lady who had a hard time making decisions for herself. Notice again, Naomi starts to talk with the ladies. They begin to weep, and she begins to tell him in verse 11 and 12 that go back. I can't have any sons. I'm too old. Even if I had a husband here tonight, are you going to wait for the child to go back? Please, you don't come with me. You're free. Go back to your own. Go take care of yourself. And we see in verse number 14 that they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth claimed unto her. Here we see here a young lady by the name of Orpha, who's on the crossroad of two decisions, the crossroad of two countries. And this is not a lady who says, Naomi, I'm tired of you, I'm tired of your rules, I'm tired of your God, and slap her on the face and takes off back home. This is a lady who doesn't want to do things that are bad. This is a lady who just didn't make any decision at all. It's almost like watching a kid at the candy counter, when you tell your child that you go ahead and pick something out. Pick a candy bar, whatever candy bar you want. And there are some that have no problems making decision, but there are some that do have a hard time. Maybe they look at the candy rack and they say, what do I choose? Look at all these things. They look over here and say, M&M's, melt chocolate melts in your mouth and not in your hands. That'd be good if we're traveling. That'd be something good. Oh, and then over here, Skittles. Skittles is made out of real fruit juice. Maybe it's like health food. You go ahead, that. M&M's or Skittles, what do I choose? Oh, Three Musketeers. Oh, the creamy middle in there. Oh, but what about Nestle's Crunch, the official candy bar of the NBA? Oh, which one do I choose? Which one? And you watch them as they just looking at it and just staring. M&M's or Skittles, I just can't decide. And after a while, a father would be watching this, and he'll say something like this. By the count of 10, you need to make a decision. 10, 9, 8. And you could see little beads of sweat start to get on their forehead as they start trying to figure out the pressure is now on. 7, 6, 5. And all of a sudden, you could see them trembling and trying to go, M&M's or Skittles, what do I do? The pressure's on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And by the time one hits, one of two things is going to happen. Either that child is going to make a decision, or someone is going to make that decision for them. You see, Orpha is not someone who's chose to follow after Satan. She doesn't go away and say, I decided to follow Satan. No turning back, no turning back. The problem with Orpha is that she made no decision at all, and someone made the choice for her. See, she went up and said, I'll follow you, Mom. And Naomi says, no, don't go with me. Go back home where it's safe. Go back to your family. I have nothing to offer you. You go back. And she allowed Naomi to make the decision for her. You know, that happens so often. That people will grow up, children will grow up, and they never have been taught, they've never come to the place where they make a decision for themselves. And what happens is that someone ends up making the choice for them. For example, maybe you have a young man who grew up in church. He was taught good things, grew up in a good household. He grew up, wasn't rebellious, but he just never made decisions for himself. And so he goes off and gets a job, and that's the thing to do. And next thing you know, the friends at work say, you know, why don't you come with us over to the bar? And we're just going to go watch the game. And we know your things. You don't have to drink. Just come to the bar and just hang out with us. What's wrong with that? And so the young man goes, and guess what? Lightning doesn't strike. The building doesn't fall down. They have a good time, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so he does it again and does it again. Then comes someone's birthday. Oh, come on. We got to celebrate this birthday, and you can't celebrate it with a Coke. What's the matter with just one beer? Let me tell you what's wrong with just one beer. Every alcoholic, every drunkard started with just one drink. And so the young man says there's nothing wrong with it. He takes a drink, just one drink. Nothing happens. Lightning doesn't strike. The building doesn't cave in. They have a good time and they make it home. No problem. That drink turns to another drink, and then turns to another drink, and turns to another drink. Until next thing you know, this young man who grew up in a good home, grew up in a good environment, because of alcohol, it destroys his family, destroys his life. He loses his job, and he's now living out on the street. Why did he choose that? The problem is that he didn't make any choice, and someone made the choice for him. Maybe you take a young lady who grew up in a nice home. She grew up with good morals, but she sees the high school football quarterback with his hair dragging behind him, and she gets all Twitter-pated and says, I love him. You don't understand. I love him. And he wraps her around his finger. And she doesn't make any choice, but someone chooses for her. Until years later, she's in a horrible marriage. And things all fall apart. Because she didn't make a choice, someone made a choice for her. M&Ms or Skittles. I just can't decide. You see, dear friend, there's going to come a time where the decisions are going to be a lot more important than M&Ms or Skittles. There's going to be a time where you're going to be at a crossroad of decisions, and you don't know where the roads are going to lead you, but the decisions are going to affect you for the rest of your life. We see what happens to Orpha. She goes home, and we never hear her mentioned ever again. And that's what happens to people who don't make decisions for themselves. They get kind of wiped out of history. They kind of disappear. Nothing ever happens of them. But not only do we have one lady standing here at the crossroad of decisions, we also have another lady by the name of Ruth. Orpha goes away, and again, not evil, not anything. She was willing to do whatever she was told. And Naomi said, go home. But we have another lady here who makes a decision by the name of Ruth. You know, it's always amazing when you could take a passage in the Bible and see how it sums out their life. Like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the book of Ruth in chapter 1, we can see Ruth as she says a statement that wraps up her decision making, that wraps up her life. Notice with me in verse number 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. You see, she made a decision. She says, I know that you told me to go back, but I know in Moab they have false gods. I want to go to the true God that I've been hearing about. I know in Moab I can go home and I have family. I know up in Bethlehem, Judah, it's the unknown. I don't know what's going to go up there. You see, the choice was for her. Do I take the easy path, but the wrong path? Or do I take the right path, but the hard path. And she said, I'm choosing that one. I'm choosing that way because it's right. It may not be easy. I don't know what's going to happen. I know there may not be security there, but I'm choosing the right path. And praise the Lord, she made a decision to follow after the Lord. She made a decision even when someone else said do something opposite. She goes, I don't care what you say. I'm doing the right thing. You see, we have here two young ladies who at the crossroads of two nations. Bethlehem, Judah this way. Moab this way. But it wasn't just being on the border of two nations. It was a decision that was going to affect the rest of their life. So they go back. Naomi goes back and to Bethlehem, Judah, and friends that haven't seen her in a while sees her and says, is this Naomi? And she goes through a big pity party speech. Please don't call me Naomi. I'm no longer blessed. Call me Mara because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Oh, it's so horrible what happened. And she goes back. But you know, Ruth had decided to follow the Lord. And it was amazing to see what happened. Notice with me in the book of Ruth, chapter 2 and verse number 1. Ruth, chapter 2 and verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess, and Naomi, said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him of whose sight I shall find grace. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And she went, and it came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap. That we would say it like this. It just so happened. It just so happened that as she's going out to go get some ears of corn and to glean in the field after the reapers come, they usually left a corner for the poor people to grab some food after it. And it just so happened, she landed on the most eligible bachelor in all of Bethlehem. And it happened to be a close relative, which the law said that he can do something about it. You know, you'd almost think that if you didn't know any better, that God was looking after her. If you didn't know any better, you'd almost think that God was blessing her for a decision to follow after him. And so the story goes, and Boaz meets her, and his heart starts thumping, and he says, wilt thou? And she wilts. And they get married. And if you don't mind, as we go through the midst of the story, we'll cover a little bit more of that on Sunday morning. But we go through the story of Ruth and they get married. Notice with me in the book of Ruth in chapter number 4. Ruth in chapter number 4. And notice with me in verse number 15. And he shall be to thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine own age. For thy daughter-in-law, that's Ruth, which loveth thee, is better to thee than 7 sons that have borne here him. And Naomi took the child. So Boaz and Ruth, they got married in verse number 13. And they had a son. And they lay that son in Naomi's lap. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse to it. And the women of her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi. And they called his bed Obed. So here it is. Ruth and Boaz get married. And they have a son. And they name the son Obed. Well, one day Obed grows up. And his heart starts to thump. And he says, wilt thou? And she wilts. And they have a son. And they call that son Jesse. You imagine Jesse being laid in Grandma Ruth's lap and she looks at it and says, it's a boy. Well, one day Jesse grew up and his heart started thumping and he said, wilt thou? And she wilted and Jesse got married. And they had a son and they laid it in great-grandma Ruth's lap and said, what is his name? And they tell him. And then they have another son and another son and another son. And another son. Till they come up to child number 7. And maybe great-grandma Ruth is still alive. And I'd like to believe she is. And they said, is it a girl? Did you finally give me a great-granddaughter? No, it's a boy too. Well, what is this little boy's name? This name, little boy's name, is David. And one day, David grew up. And his heart started a thumping. And your heart would be thumping too if you stood right across the field of a 9-foot giant who was ready to kill you. And God used him to slay that giant. And later on, God used that young shepherd boy to become the king of Israel. Now, if you were to go back and to the crossroads of decision where Ruth and Orpah are there at the crossroads. One road saying Bethlehem, Judah. The other one saying this way to Moab as they're trying to make a decision. And you were to take a video screen and you would say, one of these young ladies, you are going to make a choice. And if you make the right choice, you're going to have a great grandson who is going to become the king of Israel. Do you think those two girls would reconsider what they were thinking? Do you think those two girls would think seriously about the decision they're about to make? Well, unfortunately, dear friend, we don't have video screens. We don't know the decisions of our life. We don't realize how important the decisions we are that we make, how important those decisions are until we see the end result of them. And the problem, dear friend, is that so many people, M&Ms or Skittles, I just can't decide, is that they don't make any decision and someone makes a decision for them. But that's not the end of the story. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the gospel record of Matthew in chapter number 1. The gospel record of Matthew in chapter number 1. Let's see the end of the story. Matthew chapter number 1. And if you don't mind, Matthew chapter number 1, we have the book of the genealogies talking about the kingly line. And Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1, the word of God says this. And the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham began Isaac. Isaac began Jacob. Jacob began Judas. Judas and his brother. Judas begat Phares of Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrim. And Esrim begat Aram. And Aram begat Abinadab. And Abinadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Solomon. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Here is a young lady that in the New Testament, they are once again mentioned. In fact, here at 2,000 plus 3,000 years in the future, we're still talking about Ruth. If we were to go to this crossroad of two decisions where two ladies are trying to decide what's going to happen to the rest of their life. On one hand, you have Bethlehem, Judah. On the other hand, a crossroads leading back to Moab and telling him that you're at the crossroad of decision. If you were to go back and say that 3,000 years ago, because of the decision you make right here, people are still going to be talking about you. Once again, they would go and say, they would be clawing and fighting and scratching to go and make the right decision. But again, we don't have video screens in our life. And we don't realize how important the decisions are. The Bible goes on in the book of Matthew chapter number 1. And as we go down, that Obed beget Jesse and Jesse beget David the king. And David the king beget Solomon of her that had been Urias. And it goes all the way down until we find in verse number 15, Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Methan, and Methan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. That if you were to go down and look through this, you would see that Ruth was the great, 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 and you work out how many greats, grandmother of Jesus Christ, who is going to be the Savior of the world. Do you see how important that decision was? That she chose righteousness, and because of that, she was honored, and she had the great privilege to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ, to be mentioned in the New Testament, that we still talk about her today. You see, on the crossroad of those two decisions, the most important decision she could ever made was made that day. Whereas one made a decision, the other one said, M&Ms and Skittles, Three Musketeers, Nestle's Crunch. I just can't decide. And to make no decision is the wrong decision. Dear friend, I don't know your decision-making tactics, but there are some of you that need to make decisions. That you need to decide right here and now. You don't realize that you are on the crossroad of the rest of your life. And from up to this point, you've allowed others to make the decision for you. Now is the time for you to make your own decision to follow after Christ. You see, the decisions are so important now. Do I follow after Christ or not? And some of you say, well, I don't mind following Christ. I don't have anything against Christ. I just don't know about following him right now. You see, to make no decision is to already make the wrong decision, because someone will make that decision for you. Now is the time for some of you to say, now is the time to choose after Christ. Now is the time to decide to follow after Jesus. Now is the time to say, playtime is over. You're at the crossroad of two decisions. I wish I could take a video screen and I could show you the decisions and the consequences of the decisions. But life doesn't come that way. You have to choose now to choose to follow after Christ or not. And not to make a decision is to already make the wrong decision. M&Ms and Skittles, I just can't decide. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.